Hi guys, just a reminder that this podcast, as well as many of my online resources, is delivered freely. If you would like to help me get this message of healing out to millions of people around the world, please consider clicking on the donate button on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Thank you. Hello, hello, hello. Oh my God, I'm a little too excited. Nicole, relax. Hi guys, I'm back. For those of you who don't know, I have been on a podcast hiatus for just about a month, and boy, did I need it. I needed to breathe and to give myself a little bit of space mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and I am back, and I am so rejuvenated and so happy and excited to be back with you. So hi, this is Nicole. Welcome to my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. So happy to be here with you guys. And as our first day back, I am so beyond, and I'm not being overly dramatic, thrilled to offer you this follow-up interview with Angela. So Angela was on the podcast before. We did a real-time heal about a year ago. She mentions the episode when we were talking, I think she said 112, that she and I were doing a real-time heal. She reached out to me and she said, I can't feel anything when I journal speak. And I was wondering if you would do a real-time heal about that. And we did. And she wrote to me over the hiatus and explained to me what has happened to her since. And it was so heart-filling, so exciting, so transformative that I was like, dude, you're coming back on the podcast. And she was absolutely thrilled to do so. So it's a wonderful, uplifting, deep, emotional first time back. And I am just really excited. It's just the perfect entrance into this next phase of my podcast, which is really, there's no way to delineate it. It's not like I have seasons. It's not like it's the beginning of a year. It's just, for me, I did almost 300 episodes. I did almost 3 years of the podcast. Not 300 episodes. I did almost 3 years of the podcast without taking a break. I needed a few weeks off. And just to come back and to feel so aligned and so in the flow and so with this wonderful interview, it's just really great for me. So just so you guys know, I do have some ways to connect that I just wanted to tell you about, because people are just writing to me lots and lots. And I love to hear from you guys. I just wish that I was able to give you everything the moment that you need it. And so right now is my chance because I haven't been on the podcast. So I have an in-person retreat coming up. It is going to be at the Art of Living Retreat Center, which is in Boone, North Carolina, April 8th through the 10th. Go to my website, click on the retreats tab, go to my Instagram at Nicole Sachs LCSW, and it's also in my Instagram bio. Go right to the Art of Living Retreat Center and Google my name or type my name, you'll find it. Please join us. It's a weekend, so you don't have to commit to the whole five-day thing. And it's going to be myself and my two core instructors, Caroline Dewey and Lisa Schlossberg, and we are going to do a deep dive into the trauma responses, into the somatic experiencing, into the depth of this work. And so I hope to see you there. It's always really intimate. We all connect. And plus, the place looks amazing. I have never been there, but I'm looking at the website and getting super excited. So there's that. And also, all of my mini retreats that I did this fall and in late summer are available now on my website. And I'm not going to remember all of them, but I have an inner child one. I have a self-compassion one. I have journal speak for radical acceptance. I have codependency and boundaries and perfectionism and resistance and all different really important topics. Oh, fawning, the fawning response. And they're all available for purchase. And so you can purchase the recording, you get the whole retreat, and then you can follow along and do the retreat as if you were there in person. So you can get that on the retreats tab of my website, and you'll see it drops down and it says purchase retreat recording. So do that for yourself. If you need any help, I'm here for you in every way that I can. I do get a lot of emails. I'm no longer in private practice, but this is the way I do this. I teach, I do this podcast, I travel and I do retreats and I do online retreats, and I'll be announcing more. Stay tuned to my Instagram, like I said, at Nicole Sachs LCSW, and my online community, which is a Facebook group, closed and private, Journal Speak with Nicole Sachs LCSW. All of the information, everything that I do is also announced there first. Okay, my loves, this has been so great to be back with you, and I'm so excited to share this interview. Please open your heart, open your mind, open your hands to the sky, your face to the sun, and enjoy this interview with Angela. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the pod. Today, I have Angela with me. Welcome, Angela.
Yay. Hello. It's so great to be back. This is amazing.
So you guys, Angela has been on the podcast before, and you know, it's starting to happen that people are trickling back and telling me about their experiences since they've been on the podcast and wanting to update this community. And Angela's letter was like such a happy, joyous thing for me to receive. Angela, I cannot tell you how much your letter meant to me, because I teach this stuff. This is my life. I am teaching it. I'm carrying this message. And for somebody to get it in that messy, lifey, hard, and then amazing, and then hard, and then euphoric way is a gift, because that's the way this goes. And you articulate so beautifully how it's gone for you. So thank you for that.
That's awesome to hear.
Okay, so here's what I want to start this conversation. I was just, before we got on, I was just rereading Angela's letter, and I want to just read a selection from it, because the way you put it, I think I would set a really great stage for this conversation. So here it is. So of course I said that, and now I have to get that. Well, because I was reading the whole thing. Okay. Ready. Here it is. You wrote to me. Hi, Nicole. It's been nearly a year since we spoke on the podcast, and all I can say is, wow, this work. Oh my fucking God, this work. I am not the girl who feels broken anymore. I feel human instead. I just teared up writing that because I didn't know. I didn't know until I knew. I used to feel like my trauma was this horrible, dark, dirty rat's nest inside of me. I didn't know how to unravel it. It was huge, scary, and slowly eating away at me. This work helps me to look at it, and most importantly, to integrate it. When I overreact in the moment, I see it's a trauma response. When I hesitate to say something in journal speak, you bet your ass I see that as a red flag, and not only say it, but start to dig. My trauma doesn't feel big or unmanageable anymore. The longer I do the work, the more I trust in the process, and that feels so freeing. So literally I could read this whole thing, but I'm not going to, because we're here to freaking talk about it. But I'm just going to read that the first sentence of the next paragraph is in all caps, and it says, I eliminated my chronic anxiety. So I feel like that's a great place for us to start, because I'm going to remind everyone that Angela's interview, it was a real-time heal, and it was precipitated by her first email she ever wrote to me, which is that she couldn't feel anything in journal speak. You remember that, Angela?
Mm-hmm, I do.
So start wherever you want to start about where your journey's been in the past year, because I just love – I love all of it. I love the happiness of the result, but I also love the messiness of the middle.
Yeah. So I guess like – because of course I'm like the type A plus student, so I have all sorts of notes here. I have stuff to talk about with trauma and stuff to talk about with anxiety. So wherever you want me to start,
wherever makes sense to you.
Okay. I guess we'll start with that trauma, just because you did read that out loud, and I remember when I had reached out to you in the podcast and we were kind of talking. I was harping on that 19 years. You know, if people want to go back and listen to the original podcast, I wrote it down. It's episode 112. And it's about how I grew up with a very alcoholic, abusive dad and an unavailable mom. And so the first 19 years of my life until I moved out felt like so much trauma that it felt like so unmanageable. And I think that's what I was begging you for help with in that first podcast. I was just like, please, like, tell me that I'm okay and that I'm not too damaged and that I'm still, like, okay, you know, because I went back and listened to it, as cringy as that was. I listened to myself and I'm like, oh, that poor girl, like, she just wanted someone to tell her that, like, she wasn't broken. Right. And that finally, like, came with all the work that I did. I mean, I think what I needed was two things. I needed self-confidence. And I needed to stop controlling. And the self-confidence really came as I did the work and as I freaking bathed myself in self-compassion. I mean, that's a big one, is just being like, oh my God, it's okay. Like, you're just doing your best. Yes. So all of that self-compassion. And then I hate when there's not a roadmap. Like, I hate when there's not like a class that like I can just be like checking off the list. So like, I get really not confident in myself when I don't have like a roadmap to follow. And I think I just gained that self-confidence as I did the work every single day. I've been doing the work now. How long have I been journal speaking? Oh my God, probably a year and a half by now. Right. And since we last spoke on the pod, I've been journaling 5 days a week. I take the weekends off just because my heart tells me that's what I need.
Perfect.
Yeah. So it's not anything stressful or anything. And the second part of that was the stop controlling part, because I realized how much I fought everything in every way, shape, and form. I fought my life. I fought other people. I fought my journal speak, like just thinking that things needed to be different than they were. So I learned to surrender as much as humanly possible. And that has been life altering, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah. Sing yeah. it, sister.
Yeah. So I love that imagery of the rat's nest, because that is like how it felt in there. It truly did. It felt so bad and scary and horrible and unmanageable. And I didn't know what to do with it. But now, it's still there, but the difference is I don't hate it and I don't wish it gone, and I'm actually accepting it. And in doing that acceptance and accepting that rat's nest of trauma, it's no longer controlling me, and I'm actually just integrating it. And that's like so huge.
Can I just say something really random that's occurring to me while you're saying
this? Yeah.
Because I love the whole metaphor and the whole imagery. Uh-huh. You know, to us, we think when we think of a rat's nest, we think of two things. We think of like a gross, disgusting rat and like what it must create and where it lives and ew, and it's dirty and it's diseased. And like, that's a very sort of traumatic thought. But for some reason, as you were talking, and maybe it's because your energy has so transformed, Angela, what I thought about is, but what does the rat's nest mean to the rat? And what it means is like a soft, loving, warm, safe, you know, not where people could hurt it. And like, I think this work is really about going into those shadow sides of ourself, integrating it to the point where we've hated it if we had to, and we've yelled it if we had to, and we've cried and we've screamed and we've been gutted. But coming to the place where we realize that's also a safe resting place for those parts of us that are the dirty rat.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just had to say that. I love that whole thing that just happened in my brain.
That is so cool to think of it like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So fun. So I think a lot of what I've been noticing, I mentioned my trauma responses, which I became awake from your Instagram. You write a lot about trauma responses on there. And I found that, of course, I have a lot just like everyone else, but my big ones are hyper independence, like not wanting to deal with other people. I must have mail. That's my dog barking.
Hello, so puppy.
Excuse the puppy. He's freaking out. He's trying to protect me.
It's okay. Right, we love dog interviews on this podcast.
Oh my gosh, it must be a package. I knew he was gonna do this. This is funny.
It's really all right, okay. Sweet.
All right, buddy. Okay. So anyway, hyper independence and not wanting to just like deal with other people. And then
and when you say not wanting to deal with other people, yeah. Do you mean like because it's just easier to get things done yourself?
Yes.
You don't trust because with alcoholism and neglect. Okay. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yes. So that's been interesting to kind of like deal with. And then this was a big one. Like if something goes wrong, like say my dog barking during a podcast, or like if something goes wrong at work, even if it has nothing to do with me and I did nothing wrong, I integrate that as, oh my God, I screwed that up. It's all my fault. And that was a big trauma response for me because I do. If someone's unhappy, it's my fault. If something went wrong, it's my fault.
I do the same thing. It sucks that we do this to ourselves. And I think that this is a huge response to growing up with alcoholism or with mental illness or with anything that creates a really unsafe daily dysfunctional family, because I know mine comes from my dad and never knowing what his mood was going to be and never knowing if mm-hmm. he was going to turn that anger or that criticism onto me or to my mom. And I feel you so hard with that one. Like literally someone could be unhappy and I'm like, what did I do?
Yeah.
It's annoying.
It's so annoying. It's stupid. And then additionally with your, like, I'm in love with your Instagram. If no one's following you on there, I'll put in the plug now. Follow Nicole on Instagram. Cause
I work really hard.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's beautiful. And I learned so much. And one of the other things you were speaking about were the core wounds. And was that a big one? Cause I didn't even know that I had those until you started talking about those. And my core wounds were that I'm bad and that I'm broken and that I am alone. And the biggest one, that I am my father. Ooh. And when I came across that one, I realized how much of my life was like dictated by me not wanting to be my father, and how if he was one way, I was going to be the exact opposite, because I hate that his blood is even in me and that I'm even related to him. So it's like, whoa, that was eye-opening, because like he was angry and he was dangerous and he was mean. And so I don't ever want to be angry because that's my dad. And I don't even like it when other people are angry because that reminds me of him. And it's just unraveling all of that shit. That's the work. I mean, yes. That's the work of this. And so you said that like my energy has changed, and I feel that. I feel like such a different person. I feel like that, you know, dry plant analogy that you were saying. I feel like it's like sucking in now, and I'm kind of like blossoming because
I'm like seriously tearing up. This is so amazing.
Yeah, it's huge. My life is so different even than from, you know, 10 months ago when we talked, or however long it's been. It's so different. And my God, I have so many notes here. I don't even know where to go from here. I do know something I want to talk about. So forgiveness. You turned me on to Tara Brach, who's a meditation teacher, if people don't know who she is. And she is amazing. She's completely changed my meditation practice, of which, since we've talked, I do a daily meditation practice now, and it's everything. My God, it's everything. And one of the things that she teaches is this forgiveness meditation, where you ask for forgiveness from others, you forgive yourself, and then you forgive someone else. And the first time that I did that, my heart kind of like physically hurt. It hurt. I didn't know that I needed forgiveness from others. And I didn't know that I needed to forgive others. You know, like it was a big one. And I'm still kind of dealing with that and trying to work my way through that. The best I can do towards forgiveness to my father is just, I intend to forgive. And that's okay for now. I'm okay with that. And if it never goes beyond that, I'm okay with that too.
I think what people need to hear when they hear the word forgiveness is to, I almost feel like let's give it a little bit of time here for people to understand what we're really saying. Because when people hear the word forgiveness, one of several things happens. One of three things happened. The best case scenario first is they hear the gravity and they understand mm-hmm. how important it could be. But that's not everyone. I'd say a lot of people, the other two things happen. The first is that they get angry. I get this response a lot from people. Are you telling me I have to forgive my abuser? And I'm always like, I'm not telling you anything. I want to express to you the healing qualities of what exists here. So it's either I believe it, I get it, anger, you know, and resentment at the message, or the third is, yeah, no, of course, yeah, forgiveness. No, I hear you. Right, of course, yeah. And like they don't understand. When I hear that a person is harboring resentment and anger, what I see is a dark cancer within them. So when we talk about forgiveness, what I want people to hear is if you had a dark cancer within you, like a physical tumor, would you say, I'll get to it maybe next year, you know? Like, no, you would run like your ass was on fire to a doctor to say, get this cancerous tumor out of me. And you should. I guess what I want to say is like this lifting of Angela's energy that you have got to feel through your car radio or your AirPods or whatever you're listening, you have got to feel. And if you are hearing this, it is because she took the time. She understood the importance and took the time to consider how powerful forgiveness is for removing that dark cancer. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, 1,000,000%. It's not about them. It's about me. And it's about how I want to feel inside and how I don't want to be controlled by that resentment anymore. Yeah. It's all about me. Yeah. I have a couple notes specifically about journal speak that I wanted to talk about because these are some really awesome. Great things that I've found is that you know how you do your 30-day challenge for like newcomers to the
let's actually define it because you know there are people that just jump on podcasts. So guys, if you're new to this podcast, what Angela is speaking about is my practice of journal speak that I teach, which is sort of a three-pronged effort. One is belief, which is knowing that the mind and the body are in a constant dance and that if your nervous system is dysregulated, it literally causes physical and emotional illness. So just sort of that belief piece is important. And then the journal speak work is a daily practice of a 20-minute, unabashed, impolite, no holds barred, letting your inner child have a full tantrum, whether it's crying or angry or begging or despondent. It'll show up differently every day, and then followed by a 10-minute loving kindness meditation for yourself. It is a 30-minute practice. It sounds like it's easy. It's not. It's terribly hard. You will fight tooth and nail, and I'm sure you're going to get to that. You'll fight tooth and nail to not do it. And you kind of even said it in that opening paragraph I read, you know, with like, if I don't want to talk about something, I know that's the thing I need to talk about. So anyway, journal speak is a practice I teach. It sounds like it's simple. It sounds like, oh, la-di-da, it's not. It will profoundly change your physical and emotional health because that stuff inside is a dark cancer and you have the capability to get it out. So what Angela is now saying, and I have no idea what she's about to say, is that she has some reflections based on her own journal speak practice that she could maybe bring that would be helpful.
Yeah, exactly. So your 30-day challenge that you did, I kind of stole that. I had this fear, this really huge fear that was directly tied to an extremely traumatic event in my life. And I thought, what if I take 30 days and I do nothing but write towards this fear? So that's what I did. That's what I did for the month of July. I wrote towards this fear and I wrote it to death. And I was so sick of it. And I was just like, oh my God, I can't write about this anymore. But I kept going because I would have little moments of breakthrough, and I would have little moments of understanding. And going back and like reliving that trauma almost through my journal speak was intensely healing. And by the end of that 30 days, I was able to freaking do that thing that I was so afraid to do. Like, I just like, that's like, that's magic. I don't know what this, how, what to call it except magic. It's like, wow. I just like healed myself of that.
So you're saying you had a trauma based, you're totally fine not to share the details.
You had a trauma
based on a certain activity.
Yes.
And you were able to engage in that activity and desensitize yourself. And now it's not your trauma.
Yes.
Anymore. Beautiful. Yes. Beautiful.
Yes, yes, yes. And I found that with my journal speak, like I'm finding that I just allow it more and more. Like I'm just working more out of intuition than I am anything else. And sometimes I'll sit down and I know exactly what I need to talk about. But more often than not, like I just sit down and I don't know what it is I'm going to talk about. And I kind of find my way. And it's funny how the more you do this, the more you trust the process. And then the more you Yes. trust the process, the more you trust yourself. And it's like this beautiful cyclical circle that like, oh, it's beautiful.
And I'll add one more piece to the wheel. So the more you do mm-hmm. this, the more you trust the process, the more you trust the process, the more you trust yourself. And then you start to really heal
yes.
and your anxiety drops away and your panic drops away and your physical ailments, which you can't believe, you know, your crippling back pain or your pelvic pain or your migraines, or your fibromyalgia, stop showing up. And then what kind of unites that entire circle is you allow your body to be your proof. Your belief is intensified and integrated. And then like, hello, your whole life is right here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Wow. So, oh, this work, it's everything. So I think we're going to jump over to anxiety now because I'm really excited to talk about anxiety. And I
right?
never thought yes. that sentence would come out of my mouth.
Who could deny that it is so exciting to talk mm-hmm. about anxiety? Love it.
Oh my gosh. So this is like such a good story. So right after our last podcast, like a day after that thing aired, I got debilitating, I mean, life-altering anxiety, like the sensation of suffocating and like suffocating on the air. And like, I would just go... like take that type of gasping thing like all day long. And then I had like this crushing pain and weight on my chest, like pair that with the suffocation. And I was just like a complete mess. I was a complete disaster.
So let's just also remind people that the reason yeah. Angela came on the Real Time Heal is she said, I was wondering if you'd be willing to do a little different real-time heal. My problem is that I can't get to my emotions.
Yeah.
So
we didn't even talk about.
Yeah, it just makes perfect sense yeah. that we did it. She got to some emotions, like she started stirring shit up, and the anxiety came swooping in to save yeah. her. To help her have something to worry about. Mm-hmm. Basically, what your nervous system does when you start getting close to something is it puts itself in the mode of protector. And it says, hey, Angela, oh my God, oh my God. I know you thought that you wanted to feel these things, but I think that is a terrible idea because feeling things makes you die because the nervous system is not evolved in that way. It's a fight or flight response. It thinks that feeling things will make you die, but we know better. And so what happened to her, and I don't want it to scare anyone, no matter how difficult it is for her to explain it and how horrible it sounds, it is a beautiful part of a pathway out, and there is no getting around it. And that's where I want to hand to my heart, have empathy for you, that I know you don't want to feel it. I know you don't want to feel your resistance. I know you don't want to feel your feelings. I know you don't want to feel your anxiety. I know. I have been you. I am you. I get you. And so does Angela. But at the same time, there is no other way out than through. And what the podcast did was trigger Angela into the next phase of her journey, which is a temptation from the nervous system to say, hey, why don't we just become a panicked, anxious mess? Because if we do this, we don't need to feel all that stuff. We'll just feel the anxiety. So that's what happened to her.
Yeah. And just to add to what you said, I would not take away this anxiety stuff that happened to me after a podcast for anything. And that will become clear because of what I learned from it and how I transformed from it. So yeah, it sucked. I hated it, but wow, did I change from it. So, while all of that anxiety shit was going down, after a podcast, I was doing your anxiety course because I had in the past had a lot of anxiety and a lot of panic attacks. And it's funny, we didn't even talk about anxiety much in the first podcast because it wasn't really where my head was at. And it was just manageable.
Yeah.
But I was doing your anxiety course and I'm like, well, thank God I have this because I'm a disaster mess right now. And so like, I knew in my brain that this was just boring, stupid TMS. And I knew what my body was doing. I absolutely did. But like that kind of anxiety comes with so much fear and it just, it feels different. It doesn't feel the same.
Yeah,
it doesn't feel the same. And for whatever reason, I just couldn't get that message through to my sweet nervous system. And so it just like kind of took over. And I have a really great story actually about me being on to what it was doing the whole time. So I think it was about 2 months into all of this anxiety and I pretty much like gave up. I'm like, I can't live like this anymore. I'm completely done. Like I'm done. I need help. I don't care what it is. I'm calling my doctor. So I called my doctor to see if I could get something to help with the anxiety. And I'm like, well, whatever, fuck it. I don't care. Like, that's how desperate I am. So I did. However, the best part of this story, and it just keeps getting better and better, is that the second I called my doctor before the medicine was even in me, guess what calmed down? My nervous system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it calmed down. It was happy. It's like, yes, we got her. And I noted to myself, I'm like, yep, I see what you're doing. I'm still going to take the pill, whatever. I don't care. But I'm noting what you're doing. So about another 2 months goes by and it's the anxiety's building and building and building and building. And I'm still on the medication. And then it gets to, I can't live like this anymore. I'm done. And I call again to get a bump. And again, I say, nervous system, I see you. I know what you're doing. Like, you can do this to me twice, but we're not going to do this a third time. So I get the bump and it was Lexapro and I'm okay with Lexapro. I think that it is like a pretty good medicine. And so
let me also say, just in case anyone's curious, I am totally fine. The only time where I say I don't believe in people taking medication is I don't believe in opioids. I just straight up don't because they cause addiction and they don't help chronic pain. Literally, they don't. Mm-hmm. And second of all, I'm not okay with benzos because the way benzos can react in people's systems and how hard it is to get off of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, if you're going to die and you need a very short-term benzo situation, first of all, I'm not a doctor, so you don't even have to listen to me. But I also want people to know that I have no judgment for antidepressants or of any kind, all the SSRIs. It's just about also knowing that that's not a fix-all, that if you don't do the work, you're just going to keep struggling.
And that was exactly why I was okay with going on it because I was not looking for it to save me. I was still doing the work every single day. So that's why I was okay with it. So then, so this is the second bump. And then guess what my nervous system did a third time? It's like, ramped it up. And at that point I said, no, like we're not going to keep doing this. I'm not going to live my life bumping up my Lexapro every month just because you're being crazy. So I said no to it. I didn't bump it. But that is when I had the breakthrough. So we're talking 6 months of this, six entire months of like bumping my Lexapro, feeling like a disaster. And I got it. Finally, I had my breakthrough. And my breakthrough was I was putting meaning to my anxiety. And the meaning was, I am failing at beating TMS.
Oh, okay.
And my God, Nicole, when I realized that that was the meaning I was putting on my anxiety, that my anxiety meant my failure, I was furious. I was so mad. I was saying that I'm a fraud and I went on Nicole's podcast and I don't know anything. And all this TMX work is bullshit. And like, I just freaked out in my mind.
We've all been there.
Yeah, I freaked out. But then after I had my little freak out, I said, oh man, like I see that that meaning is false and I get it. And I told my anxiety, like, you are completely welcome in my body. You don't mean that I'm a failure. And like, I truly meant it. And that is when it began to release, like for real, like for real release. And since that moment, I've really been able to treat my anxiety symptoms, like that suffocating, not being able to breathe thing, you know, the pain in the chest. I've been able to treat it like I do my other TMS symptoms that pop up, like the fibro pain and the exhaustion stuff. Like, it's the same. And it's this balance of peace and boredom and interest that you have to kind of come towards these symptoms with. It's
the trifecta. That's a great way to put it. Peace and boredom and interest. Because peace means it's equanimity, right? Mm-hmm. It's like however this goes, it's okay for me because what's coming here is here to teach me. And what's coming here is here because I'm just a sweet, sweet baby inside and shit has gone down and I have been hurt and that, you know, you don't wipe that away. So what will be is the peace. Boredom is, I totally get it. I want people to understand this so much. When your symptoms rise, you start getting a headache, your fibro flares, you get a stomach thing and you know it's your IBS or whatever it is, your back, you know, you wake up with a back thing. If you can immediately upon feeling that sensation become so bored with it in a kind way, okay, you're not rejecting it, you're not saying to your body, I dispose of you, you suck, you're against me. You just say, yeah, right, well, you know, sometimes I feel things in my heart and sometimes I feel things in my body and I don't know exactly what's going on right now, but like, whatevs. Like, I feel you trying to tap me and I'm not ignoring you. I'm just saying, like, you're just kind of whatever to me. So there's that. But the third thing you said, Angela, what I love is also interest, because we want to turn to the parts of us that are screaming for attention. If they're screaming through our nerves or through our head or through our stomach or through our pelvis or through our anxiety, wherever they're screaming, we want to turn toward those little injured parts and say, hey, I see you. I am interested in you. What do you have to say? Let's take 20 minutes. All right, you go. And if you can approach your recovery with those three things, you are so fucking golden. Mm-hmm. And I love it. You're just doing such a lovely job.
Yay. That trifecta, what that reminds me of is acceptance, which has been everything to me. And I have been working my way through Tara Brock's books, which have been transforming my meditation. I'm obsessed with her. And I came across this quote last week. I wrote it down because I wanted to read it on here about acceptance. And she says, accepting what is does not mean passive resignation. It is a courageous engagement with the reality of our experience. And she nails it there. I mean,
oh my God,
courageous
awesome.
Engagement
yes.
is what acceptance is. Yeah. Wow. I couldn't say it better myself. I mean, and that's the stuff that gets you past your TMS, gets you past your anxiety, is this engagement in reality that this is how I feel today. And that's okay. Like, you got to really remove that fear. And I found the anxiety part was so much harder for me than the original TMS stuff that I had already eliminated when we first talked. This part was the part that really made me work. And it was really hard.
And I think the reason that it did is because we all have our final frontier. And I actually think that anxiety is a final frontier to a lot of people. I mean, this story of people writing to me and saying, Nicole, I was bedbound, I was housebound, I was on disability, I was suicidal. I mean, I get these emails on the daily that people were in the worst possible ways with physical pain, with physical conditions and diagnoses and symptoms and syndromes. And then they write to me a month or two later and they're like, okay, great news. I essentially don't have back pain anymore. Or like, I basically never get a migraine anymore. Or it's been a month since I had a fibro flare. So like, yay. But they're like, and now I have crippling anxiety. And I'm like, I get it. And my whole heart is always right there with these people because I get it. It sucks. You're like, what the fuck? I did this work and you said it was going to work and it did. Yeah. And now I'm like, can't breathe and I'm scared of everything and my heart's beating out of my chest and I feel like I'm going to get attacked. And I say, I totally get it. I love you and I'm so sorry. And this is what it is to live in a human brain and a body and a nervous system. Like, nobody gets out of this alive. Mm-hmm. None of us. This is called being a human being. And it is beautiful. It is magical. It is everything. We get to feel. We get to love. We get to hold and hug. And we get to care. And then we get to have our hearts broken. All of it. But that's just part of the deal. And so what happened to you, Angela, and saying that it was harder, I think it's almost because like you are moving toward a breakthrough that you've had that nobody can ever take away from you. And sometimes, I don't know if you've heard me, I know you've listened to all my stuff, so you may have heard me say this. I see it like a video game where there are levels. So my kids are not huge gamers, but growing up they had, you know, video game interests over the years. And I remember loving the fact that in certain games, once you got up to world 10, even if you died, you're only dying back to world 10.
Right.
Okay. Like you're not dying back to world 0, which is like so relieving because like you've worked so hard to get to world 10. and then when you get to world 25, even if you die, you're only going back to world 25. And this journey that I teach is like that, which is Angela will never die back to 0 again. She can't. Her brain is too changed. Her neural pathways are too rewired. And so what will happen is the worst death you will die is back to a place where you're like, man, this is so annoying. You know, I've got to experience this feeling today, which by the way is where I live. And it's the best it gets because there's no cure for the human condition. But mm-hmm. where I live and where Angela lives now is I could wake up. I'm trying to think of a good example for me. Anxiety is probably my number one symptom imperative right now because I just actually announced this in public on an interview I did with Dr. Strax for Curable. So I'll just start talking about it now. I went through a divorce this past year. I haven't yet talked about it because I decided to just keep it private and go through it. But like I was really going through it this year, like tremendous emotional angst over my children and this divorce and the relationship breaking up. But I mean, it worked out in a way that feels like incredibly right and incredibly peaceful. But you guys all know how it is. You go through a thing and when you're going through it, it's a real thing. And so what I'm living in right now is my anxiety is like the residual nervous system dysregulation for basically like a year in high alert for several things. And I think it was also corresponding with COVID and my kids' issues that kind of blossomed in COVID that had to do with all the things, all the challenges, all the fear, all the social isolation. So all of that together. And so the reason I'm saying that is because I am not ever going to be scared of anything, but I can be annoyed. I can be exhausted by it. I can be frustrated by it because you don't have to like it. You just have to live it. Yeah. So, you know, there will be days where I am having the kind of anxiety where I'm doing a lot of pre-grieving. So like my son will walk up the stairs and I begin when I hear his footsteps on the bottom to fear what he's going to say to me about like his mental health that day. And I notice it and I don't go all the way there. And I say, yeah, this is exhausting, but you know what? There's been a lot that's gone on. So your nervous system is lovingly trying to protect you from the attacker, your sweet 17-year-old boy, the attacker who is walking up the stairs because you love him and care so much that if he's not okay, you're really going to struggle with being okay. All right. So that's just the truth. I practice self-compassion, which is the next topic I want to get to. And I notice it and I practice myself as the observer. So I notice the feelings. I said, wow, my heart's just beating. I hear his footsteps. Wow. It's so interesting. My heart is beating out of my chest to say good morning to my sweet son. And I notice it. And then he comes up and he says what he says. And sometimes it's the thing I didn't want to hear, like he didn't sleep at all last night. And sometimes he's like, good morning. And it doesn't freaking matter. The point is I notice it and I let it pass. And that is the goal, guys. We're never going to go without feeling things. But the way to meet the world with those three factors, you know, acceptance. Would you say boredom? What was it?
Peace, boredom,
and interest. Yes. And guys, this is everything. And I want you guys to know something else. Angela, how long ago did you find my work?
I found approximately you, a little over, oh my gosh, was it 2020? I don't even know what year.
Okay. So let's say
I think it was like a year and a half. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Angela is a year and a half old in this work. And I, Nicole Sachs, am, let's call it 30 years old in this work. And we're the same. And that's what I want to explain to you guys. This is not a drag ass forever journey where like maybe when you're 105, you're going to feel better. This is, if you understand what we're saying here and you do the work, you will arrive at the place of being an evolved human, and then you get to live your beautiful, magical human life with all the pain, but all the joy and all the things. And that is what Angela is doing, and I'm just so happy.
Yeah. Couldn't have said it better myself. Yes.
So I don't want to usurp your notes. I would like to talk about the fact that you said I bathed myself in self-compassion, mm-hmm. because similar to forgiveness, people hear self-compassion and they go, "Oh yeah, no, that's really cute." And they don't get the power of it. So do you want to talk on that a bit?
I do. Yeah. So I think the self-compassion part of it comes with just doing everything that we just talked about, like the acceptance part of it, the part where you realize that there's no good way to be and there's no bad way to be, and it's just the reality of what is. And mm-hmm. once you can stop fighting freaking everything, and once you start awakening to the times that you do fight, because of course I still try to fight everything all the time, you know, that's not going to let itself stop, you know, right. overnight. But you kind of notice it, and you kind of just become more aware of yourself, and you just kind of stop like hating on yourself, and you just kind of just put your hand to your heart. And who is it? Kristen Neff.
Yes. She's Dr. Kristen Neff. Yes, great. Yes, resources. Yes. On self-compassion. Yeah.
Agreed. And also your self-compassion retreat as well. I have all of your retreats because I'm such a I'm like obsessed with your work, but
I love that.
And yeah, so that's where I learned all of the self-compassion techniques. And it's really just being okay with where you are. And it all comes back to acceptance. It really does.
It does.
And
yeah.
I'm glad that we're on this topic, because I have a big note here about where my resistance is winning, and where I want to get maybe your advice, your support, or just maybe some self-compassion for this. So one of the things that you had suggested that I do was Al-Anon. And I did that for about 30 times. I went online and did like the online Al-Anon.
30 or three?
30. Over 30.
Okay. You really gave it a go, right?
I did. I gave it a go. I got all the books and I loved it. I loved what they were saying. I really connected with the material, but a big but. All those times I went, I didn't speak once, not once. I couldn't bring myself to speak. And I knew that if I was going to do the 12-step program like correctly, or maybe not correctly, but a way that would change
in
me.
In an embodied fashion.
That I'd have to start speaking, and I'd have to start being seen, and I'd have to get a sponsor. And I don't know how to, like, that's a big ask. Like, oh, now all of a sudden I got to go up to the stranger and have them be my, like, it got so overwhelming that I was just like, I threw my hands up in the air. I'm like, I'm going to make a bunch of excuses. I don't have time for that. I can't do this. And I quit. And I guess I'm not happy about that. I'm not happy that I let my resistance win, because my nervous system doesn't like me to be seen, and it doesn't like me to be heard. It hates that. It thinks that's the worst thing I can do.
All right. Well, I have some really big thoughts.
Okay.
First of all, I want to say that if anyone doesn't know what we're talking about, Al-Anon is the family support program for people who have suffered in relationships or marriages or childhoods with people who have trouble with alcohol or drugs. Alcoholics or drug addicts, there's Al-Anon, where you don't have to be an alcoholic or a drug addict. Some people are confused. They're like, wait, I'm both? You could be both. But it doesn't mean you have a problem with drinking or drugs. It means that you grew up or you were involved in relationships where you were affected. And it is a 12-step program to help people own their voice and find their way, even though they were shaped with the vestiges of abuse and substance abuse. And so does that like sum it up well, do you think?
Yep. Perfectly.
So just in case people are like, what's Al-Anon? So when Angela and I were talking on the first podcast, she was sharing with me that she had this alcoholic father and all the ways it affected her. And I said, you know, I don't know if you're resistant or not, but you might want to try Al-Anon. And of course, the follow-up is that she did, but did not want to share and did not feel comfortable putting herself out there and asking for a sponsor, which, by the way, this is a very, very normal level of resistance. This is not bad resistance. Bad resistance is, Nicole, that's a stupid, terrible idea. I don't want to do it. That's resistant. So you did do it. But, you know, thank you for asking me to reflect sort of as we round out the conversation, because I want to remind you of something you said in maybe the first 3 minutes of this interview, which was, I don't even want to think about my father's blood in my veins. And I think that your resistance to really wholesomely doing the Al-Anon program is you are just sick inside to think that you would have to walk through the doors of something that was created by this monster. You don't even want his blood in your veins.
Wow. Wow.
And you know what, honey? Similar to forgiveness and similar to lack of acceptance and the black cancer, the work you do in Al-Anon, my love, is for you. It has nothing to do with him. He created the circumstances. He created the environment where it was necessary. But the beauty of the work that you do for yourself in there is absolutely for you.
Yeah, wow. I don't even know what to say.
Well, you know, this is the beauty of the lotus flower opening, is that you get now the consciousness to be able to hear something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll have to sit with that for a while. That's a big one.
And it is a big one. And you know what? I know that I said anxiety was your final frontier, which, by the way, I misspoke, because there is no final frontier. Okay. There's no final anything, guys. This is just day to day, living the dream. But I think that really, if we're going to even just use the word final frontier, it's this for you, honey, because you are so affected. Okay. I don't even want to use a negative word like damaged or injured. You're just really affected by this. And, you know, we're created in our little families that we are born into, and we take that creation and we utilize it as a lens through which we see everything in life. And I am right there with you, both my hands in the air. I always think I'm in trouble. I always think I'm bad. I always think everyone's mad at me. I always think that if there's a problem, you know, it's kind of my fault. And it's not. It's so tender. It's so poignant. It's being little girls in houses with an angry, screaming man who you don't know when's it going to come, what's it going to come, how bad's it going to get, and like just the tremendous compassion for that little girl. And when I get those feelings, like I'm bad and I'm in trouble, I just put my hands around her, my hand to my heart, my mental heart around her, and say, of course, of course. You had nothing else to go on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, wow. And I think I have to just come with it, come towards the Al-Anon like I do everything else.
So let me just say for our listeners that we just like had to pause. The dog is going so wild. So you missed a chunk of a crazy barking dog, and I just figured for your poor ears, we were going to do that. But I want to conclude this Al-Anon conversation by saying that I think you know exactly what to do, and you don't need me to tell you this. But what I'll say is, when we have true intentions and when we know what we need, we don't have to push it. We don't have to shame ourselves. We don't have to say, oh, I should be, you know, I should go to Al-Anon, Nicole. None of that. What we're going to do is you're just going to be within the space of when I am truly ready, I will do this, knowing that the only way out is through and your father is standing in your way and you don't need him to be.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's all going to be just this divine timing. Like I find in my journal speak practice, it's like I find that everything comes in its perfect time when I'm kind of ready for it.
Exactly. And so just labeling it and knowing that you were brave enough to bring up that resistance here. You didn't have to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And you did. And that just means that you are preparing. True readiness happens in all sorts of interesting ways that don't always look like they're a step on the path, but they're all a step on the path.
Yeah. Yes, ooh. Yes, yes.
So, Angela, my dear, before we wrap up, is there anything else you wanted to kind of throw in there?
Oh, boy. I don't think so. I think that I'm just ready to give my advice like you always say.
Yes, yes. Okay, so the final question I always ask to my amazing, shiny success stories that come on this podcast. You are looking out on a sea of people, many of whom could be suffering the way you suffered on your worst day. What is the advice you would like to give them?
So I learned from you that you only fail if you don't show up. You mm-hmm. said that. And yes.
That's good.
You did. And what that meant to me is don't get so hung up on what's quote right or what's best. Like there is no right or best in meditation or journal speak. So just show up and do the work and you will start to trust yourself. You will start to trust the process. Like we were talking about that beautiful circle. I cannot say enough to meditate. Everyone tells you to, I know you're sick of hearing it, but my God, it is the perfect sister for this work. It deepens journal speak and journal speak deepens it. And it's transformed my life. Speaking of transformation, I want to remind everyone that, you know, my big thing was I thought transformation had to be this, all these big sprawling changes and they had to be like, you know, these huge things, but they're actually not. The transformation is in the small little things that maybe you don't even realize. And my final piece of advice that I want to give, I want to read something and then I want to give my advice. So this is something I wrote. It's only 5 sentences, so it's not long, but this is the only thing that I've ever written in my journal speak that I've written down and kept. And what I wrote is this: the pain in my jaw was how I held my rage. How I kept quiet and small and didn't scream, didn't feel it. The pain in my chest was so I wouldn't feel the deep despair, the horrible feelings of aloneness and abandonment. The pain in my gut was where I held my fear, my disgust, my deep wounds of loathing and self-hatred. The pain in my shoulders and neck was where I held the weight of the gravity of what was happening to me, how it was too big for someone like me to handle. The feeling of suffocation was how my childhood made me feel, stifled, alone, sad, and devastated. And I wrote that and I wrote it down and I wanted to keep it forever because look at, like, go back and listen to what I just read again. Like, look at what my nervous system saved me from. Yes. My nervous system is my fiercest, fiercest friend. And I just remember that. Remember that it's always your fiercest friend and bathe it and yourself in compassion and keep showing up and keep doing this work.
Wow. That was awesome. And I feel that very deeply because that is the way it works. Yes. We are protected from the things that our brain and our nervous system deem too dangerous to feel, and they will protect us anyway. And the most difficult misconception and the most devastating misconception is when we feel those protective mechanisms, we say, my body hates me.
Yes.
My body is against me, and it is the opposite of the truth.
Yes.
Well, I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed this conversation. Angela, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Yes, thank you for having me again. This has been just mind-blowingly awesome. I'm so happy right now.
I'm so glad. And you guys out there, I hope everyone got something, if not many things, out of this incredible conversation. I'm so glad to be back. I don't know if I mentioned this. This is our first podcast back from my hiatus. So,
oh, fun.
Yeah. So I hope everybody enjoyed it. If you have been waiting with bated breath over the weeks that I have been taking a break, I'm rejuvenated. I'm back. I'm thrilled to be here with you. And Angela, you were a great first interview to have back. So thank you again.
Yay. Thank you.
All right, guys. Well, as always, if you are enjoying the podcast, it is a great service to me and to people like Angela who need this work to save their lives, as I did, to rate and review it on iTunes. It helps people find the podcast, which is a life-changing situation. And until next time, this has been The Cure for Chronic Pain with me, Nicole Sachs, Angela, and her dog. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.